Current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan State University is home to the nation's first publicly funded osteopathic medical school in the country. And that got Current State's Joe Lindstroth wondering just what was the difference between a DO and an MD, and he's here to tell us more. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark.
So MSU, I know MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine is also the top-ranked school of its kind in the nation. Isn't that right?
That is correct. That is correct. And with MSU's top ranking and its groundbreaking investment back in the 70s in the medical school, I was just curious to know more about what makes an osteopathic doctor different from a traditional MD. It's likely we'll be seeing a lot more DOs across the state in the coming years, as the college expects to play a key role in addressing Michigan's physician shortage, which is expected to rise 4,000 to 5,000 physicians by the year 2020. So I recently spoke with Dr. William Strample, who's the dean of the Michigan State's College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I asked him to tell me what distinguishes an osteopathic physician.
We train our people to touch people. I mean, when you come into, I'm a pulmonologist, a pulmonary specialist. When you come in to see me, yeah, I can put a stethoscope on you and I can say this, you have asthma or you don't or whatever. But we actually train our physicians to actually look at all the things. We look at a holistic concept of healthcare, and we've done that for about 144 years in the United States.
How does the training differ for a DO, an osteopathic doctor, as opposed to an MD?
The training difference is in the basic science courses, microbiology, physiology, anatomy, all are the same. Okay, essentially we do all that. But we add to that from the very beginning, first day of medical school. They begin to learn manual medicine concepts and they begin to learn doctor-patient relationship skills. And we actually teach within our first year, the students learn how to do a complete physical exam on everybody. So our students, by the time they're finished with their freshman year, are already examining patients.
MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine was founded in 1970. And
actually, it was founded as a private school in Pontiac, probably 1968, 69. It originally came into being because the osteopathic physicians in the state of Michigan in 1964 decided they wanted an osteopathic medical school here. So all the physicians, all the DO physicians in the state of Michigan, 1964, got together, and with the state organization, they decided to tax themselves $2,000 a year for 5 years for everybody physician in the state.
Starting in 64.
64, and they built up a fund to start the college. To give you that in perspective, in 1964, you could buy a brand new Thunderbird convertible for $1,700. So $2,000 would be the equivalent today of every physician in the profession deciding to tax themselves $50,000 a year for 5 years. So that was a real commitment.
That's very significant. What was the motivation behind that?
They wanted an osteopathic college in Michigan. The original osteopathic college was in Kirksville, Missouri. And then the four others that started, Kansas City, Des Moines, Iowa, Chicago, and Philadelphia, are all still in existence. Michigan State was essentially the sixth College of Osteopathic Medicine, and when it was started as a private school in Pontiac, that was what we thought. But then politics in the state, Governor Milliken's office, they decided they wanted Michigan State, the College of Osteopathic Medicine, to be a state-supported school. And by public act, and I believe it's 1679, they moved Michigan State College of Osteopathic Medicine to the university. And it became a full part of Michigan State University by state law, actually.
Just how groundbreaking was this?
Well, in the osteopathic profession, it was the first osteopathic medical school that was actually funded by the state, essentially. It got state funding. Prior to that, every other osteopathic school was a private school, and Michigan State University was groundbreaking. When we came here to Michigan State, it caused an explosion across the United States. There are now 32 osteopathic medical schools in the country in about 36 different locations, and the majority of them are at major universities.
You received your DO degree in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose osteopathic medicine?
Well, a friend of ours and my local family physician was an MD and a DO working in the same office together. And I'll never forget it because he pulled me aside one day and he said, listen, why don't you go talk to one of the osteopathic things colleges? And I said, okay. I didn't even know at that point what it was. And so he recommended Chicago because at that time it was the number one school in the profession. No longer Michigan State is now, okay, to do that.
Any winks,
that's right. We are, but by the U.S. News and World Report and all those things. But so I went to Chicago, and I'll never forget it because it was the only interview I had in any of the medical schools where I not only got to interview with the professor and the dean and whatever, but they had me interview with five of the students that were already going there to really ask me why I wanted to do this and what my motivation was and whatever. And it was an all-afternoon, all-day adventure. And when I came out of there, I remember talking to the guy, and he said, well, if we admit you here, we already know you've been admitted. I was admitted to another medical school, okay, to do MD school. And he said, but they know that they've got you on this 6 month delay and that issue. But if you want, if we admit you here, what would your decision be? And it was a serendipitous moment. I actually looked at the guy and I said, well, I'm a believer in a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. If I'm admitted here, I'll probably come here because I can start in the next couple of months. And he stuck out his hand. He said, congratulations, you've been admitted. And my life was never the same after that point.
And prior to this whole experience, though, you didn't know much about osteopathic medicine.
Well, I knew that I had gone to an osteopathic physician, and he worked with a friend of mine, another doctor in the office, and I'd gone to both of them most of my life. And until he pointed out to me the difference in the degree and the principle, I really didn't pay much attention to it. I think that's probably the biggest weakness in that most people in Lansing have seen an osteopathic physician. Almost all of the emergency medicine physicians in town, most of the orthopedic surgeons, most of the other things are DOs, but most people don't pay much attention to it. They're their doctor to do that.
And I think that's what I wanted to ask you about, is perception. As you were doing your training, Dr. Stramble, did you run into any stigmas associated with being a DO versus being an MD?
When I got into the Army, when I got accepted and they picked me for my internship and residency at Madigan in Seattle, I went out there. I was the first DO they'd ever had in that program. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced of the 44 interns in my class, not one of them really had thought about what an osteopathic physician was. And from the Army, the thing they were interested in more, could you do it, not what your degree was. And for me, in my early years, it was, I spent some time explaining it, but I didn't have anybody reacting because they knew I could do what I could do. My training did me well.
Are there stigmas that still exist between the professions at all, or has that kind of gone away, or characterize that for me?
Is there a rub? Sure, there's always, anytime there's a dual profession, you're always going to have some people that say this or that. It's kind of like the rivalry that exists between Michigan State and that trade school down south here.
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to get at, is just
most
what are the differences
of it is. Most of it is there to do, but over the last 25 years, I think it's almost become invisible. You have you've had the Surgeon General of the United States Army was a DO. The physician to Congress was a DO. The physician to the White House has been a DO twice with two different administrations. So all that stuff has kind of gone by the wayside. Now, there are still going to be people. It's just like you run into people that are never going to give up whatever their prejudice is one way or the other to do that. And you can't live your life worrying about that. You do your job. And what I tell the young men and women that work in my school is you learn all the things the best you can. You do the best care you can. And you don't have to worry about anybody else. It'll take care of itself.
I'm Joe Lindstroth, and I'm speaking with Dr. William Strample. He's the dean of MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Strample, can you characterize our state's primary care physician shortage right now?
Well, it didn't change with the healthcare reform, or if you want to use the slang term, Obamacare. If you look back at the Blue Ribbon Panel in the early 2000s, the state of Michigan Blue Ribbon Panel, all of the leaders that got together were predicting a physician shortage in Michigan in primary care of 4,000 to 5,000 physicians by 2020. Healthcare reform now gets a lot of attention, and now they say the number is 6,000 or whatever. It's always been a right about that number. And many of it is not just a shortage, but it's not as big a shortage in Grand Rapids, Lansing, or Detroit. It's a distribution shortage. If you go north of Clare, you're going to find huge areas where it's very hard to get an appointment to see a physician and whatever. What we tried to do, the College of Osteopathic Medicine, when it started, was about 100 students, 125 maybe.
Back in the 70s.
And all the way until 1999, we were taking in 125 students. In the early 2000s, I looked at that physician shortage, and we began to look at that issue. And so I talked to the university leadership, and I talked to the accrediting agency of the medical school, and we raised our class size. And we started by raising our class size from 125 to 150 because I wanted to see where the rub would be and whatever. And at 1 year, the 150 seemed to be working. And so then I talked to the idea, so we moved that class from 150 to about, from 150 to 200. So then in discussing the shortage in Michigan and the places we wanted to do, and I had many of my partner hospitals in the east side of the state, Detroit, all those places, and they were a real issue. And so we began to talk about opening a campus on the east side of the state. And after a long discussion, we wound up not opening one campus, we opened two, one in Macomb and one downtown Detroit, midtown Detroit. And so we have one class, now 300, 315 students a year, with three locations. And in that, we learned a lot. We've built the largest synchronous distance education operation on the North American continent. Everything I lecture in Detroit or everything I lecture in Macomb, everything I lecture here is immediately real-time available to everybody at all three of those sites.
Looking out ahead, as Dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine, what major changes do you foresee in medical training for these next generations of physicians?
Well, relatively easy to think about. I think in the next 10 years, maybe 15 for sure, genetics will become a huge issue. It's already becoming that, but it's going to be even bigger.
Dr. William Strample is the Dean of MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Strample, thank you for talking with me.
Anytime.
For Current State, I'm Joe Lindstroth.